3 ESPN weather.
It doesn't get much better than this in late March. Mostly sunny, a top temp around 50 and a light south wind. Clouds start slowly rolling back into the picture this evening, with a light wintry mix changing to light rain moving in overnight from west to east, low 30s. Wednesday morning, scattered light rain, drier with some partial clearing by the afternoon, mid to upper 40s, light south wind. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm meteorologist Amanda Tebow, with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 46 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
Only full-time FM sports station in Vermont, WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
Happy Tuesday, everybody in Burlington, Plattsburgh, and the rest of the Champlain Valley. The Red Sox looking to close up spring training strong today. They're getting ready to come north, and they do that successfully, a 4-2 win over the Chicago Cubs. Hector Velasquez, who cracked that starting rotation for the Sox, he gets the win. Red Sox looking for a big year out of David Price. We've talked to you about that all spring long, and we'll get the final tally on how he's looked this season. We talked to our Red Sox insider from Nesson, Tom Caron, at 4:35. NIT basketball tonight. It feels like forever ago that UVM was playing in the NIT, but we've got the semifinals on these airwaves with coverage starting at 6:45. We are down to the NIT Final Four for Madison Square Garden. It's Penn State, Mississippi State, and it's Western Kentucky and Utah. Over on AM 960 The Zone, our sister station, at 7:30, the Bruins taking on the Winnipeg Jets as the Bruins continue their countdown towards their big matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. That game is on Thursday. Remember, opening day of the baseball season is Thursday, and you can watch it with us at Reuben James, downtown Burlington. Thanks to our friends over at Sam Adams. The NFL's got a couple of rule changes now we'll tell you about from the owners' meetings. And Giants head coach Pat Shurmur says the team is not a total rebuild. And Dave Gettleman says he won't address Odell Beckham Jr., but says you, quote, don't give up on talent. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com. And we're always streaming. So take us anywhere on the 101.3 ESPN app.
The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I'm ready.
You're ready to roll?
That's it. Sox finished with the best record in baseball for the exhibition season. It means absolutely
fantastic.
Nothing.
Fantastic. They win the championship.
I smell a championship.
Let's have a parade for them.
22-9, your Boston Red
More
Sox.
More important, we got a YMCA game tonight. Brady, you going to be there?
I'll be there.
7 o'clock. We're playing Lester's team.
You have to stall, though. I have Champlain Valley game night until
6:45
tonight.
I'm letting you out early today for the 15 minutes, so I'm making sure that you get 15 minutes on there.
So by the time he gets there, you'll be losing by 25
points.
Well,
we lost to this team by 20 before.
Okay.
Who are we playing?
Lester's team.
Who is Lester?
You know, Lester, we play with him on Monday, Wednesday.
No, I never played with
Shakur's
Lester.
Shakur's on the team. They got the big guy in the middle that's always
done. Never played them.
Yeah, we lost to them. Maybe you weren't there that
game. Was I at the Super Bowl? That's the only game I've missed.
Well, you know who Lester is. He's always traveling with the ball. And you know the big guy in the middle that uses his weight. You know, that's decent.
So I'm going to have to play in the post, which I hate.
I'm going to throw a couple elbows at this guy's eye socket.
Right. Okay. He's probably 6'5", 280.
Because he's always doing that,
too. Can't reach his eye socket.
I know, but he's always doing that. That bothers me. You know, he's always getting away with pushing and shoving when he comes on Mondays.
This is the one where the guy kept getting where we kept getting called for offensive fouls, and he just kept going to the bucket, and he's like...
No, he doesn't go to the... He just... Gets underneath.
So he's like a bowling ball.
Yeah, he's like...
But he's short.
Yeah, he's like...
Oh, okay, now I remember
who we're talking about. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, but Shakur wasn't there the first
time. No, he wasn't there the first time. Okay. And then there's Lester, who plays with us on Monday, who takes that two steps so slow that travels every time.
Is that really a good idea for a guy who scored 25 or whatever points against you just like a month ago for you to say, I'm going to start by elbowing him in the eye sockets?
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
That's the perfect way to start the game.
That's kind of bulletin board material in a Burlington sort of way.
You'll see what happens tonight.
Arnie,
apparently he won't.
You need to stop dressing in my closet. What?
Gross.
What? Oh, they Kent State.
Yeah, we're both wearing Kent State shirts.
Well, my kid's going there in the fall.
My dad already went there, so well, I've got seniority.
I got three new shirts. I got to wear it into the rotation. Yeah. It's getting to the rotation. All right, I need some help. Serious help here, and I'm not kidding around. So write the number down on the Town Fair Tire text line. I need an answer to this. 802-655-6672. Almost a mini emergency this morning. My wife's out at 5 a.m. walking the dogs.
Ugh.
I know. Is that horrible? The dog's here up at 5 a.m.? And she's walking the dog. She looks behind her, and there on the not even, on the walkway is what she describes as a bobcat, mountain lion, catamount. I don't
mountain
know.
Lion.
Was it a coyote?
No, no. It was a big it was
a big cat?
One. It was like a, I don't know, like a catamount. There's only two left in the world.
I doubt it was a catamount.
No, I think it was.
If it was, that's big news.
What is it? What was it? A bobcat? Is that what it was?
It was
probably a big thing.
A little kitten.
No, it was ferocious. It was ferocious. So my wife didn't know what to do. She got all freaked out, which I'm like, well, I don't know how to, you know, deal with these situations, right. But I'm saying this is why I have a walking stick, because that way if the thing attacks me, I'm going to beat the hell out of it, right?
So you're telling me you live in one of those boxes in the field neighborhoods that they just dropped into Williston over the last 20 years.
And I'm surprised at wild animals.
And there's a wild animal, a catamount bobcat.
Well, first of all, what was it? I want to know what it was. But you're telling me there's no more catamounts in the world.
I don't think there are.
So is it a cougar?
I don't know. There's no cougars running wild.
Yeah, unfortunately.
In Williston. It's got to be like a bobcat. First of all, someone tell me what the hell it was.
How is anybody going to know this without having seen it? What is it, like the Loch Ness Monster? Has everyone seen the giant bobcat of Williston?
No, but it's not it can't be a catamount. You said there was two left in the world.
For all of you people that were out walking in the pitch black at 5 a.m. in Williston morning.
But you know what I was going to do is I was going to take a butcher knife.
What?
And no, I'm serious, and tie it
to read the text.
Read it to me. What does it say?
My ex-wife lives in Williston, too, and has seen many bobcats near Maple Tree
Place.
Right,
that's where I live. See, that's why I want to take
a... Chris and Virgin.
I want to take a butcher knife and...
Don't finish what you're about to say, please. I don't need PETA calling us.
No, and tie it to the end of my walking stick.
Okay.
So
please,
if it ever attacks
please don't finish this sentence.
My wife, you can defend yourself. No, okay. Die then, Beth. Just go ahead and let it eat you alive.
We're gonna have all these yahoos
on
our porch.
There's the answer then. You don't have to text it anymore. We got the answer. You just get eaten by the bobcat.
I can't even pronounce some of the stuff that these people are suggesting this might be.
Adam says it's a wild
cobra.
Oh, a wild beaver cat? What the hell is that?
I don't know. It's both a beaver and a cat.
There's no such thing.
It's probably a dirty word that we're not supposed to say.
It was the size of my dog, the size of Stanley.
Danny
and, of course, Stanley got all freaked out, wanted to run home. I think Beth, and by the way, I told her drop the leashes in case the it goes after the dog so the dogs can run away. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's fast. What is so funny about that?
I'm just reading the text.
See, that's why I want to tie the butcher knife to the end of the thing, so that way if it comes after you, you can take it and you can butcher knife it to death. My goodness.
Please, if PETA is listening, direct all complaints to Arnie Spanier, not me.
I want him out
please.
On the porch.
Someone said there's – I can't even read all this stuff. Are you keeping up?
It's definitely a bobcat, and Brady, a cougar, is a catamount.
Is it a catamount then a cougar?
No, a cougar's not a catamount, is it? You said there was only two left in the world.
I don't know.
Wouldn't
how many
a catamount be kind of cougar?
No, it wasn't a 40-year-old woman running around.
I was going to let you go there, not me.
No, it was like the size of my dog.
A catamount and cougar are synonyms. So there's more than two catamounts in the world.
Well, is this thing going to attack? That's what I want. I guess that's what I'm asking. Is there a chance that this thing is going to come after us? We have one small dog, which looks like an hors d'oeuvre for the thing, probably. And you got a big dog that's afraid because he's a puppy, but he's like the size of a humongous, like Clifford the Big Red Dog. So I don't know what to do. I got to walk at 5 in the morning with my wife?
No, just don't walk your dog.
Okay, I just won't walk.
Again, if PETA wants to come after Rich for not allowing dog walking, then please go after him and not me.
Somebody threw a new name, a lynx. A lynx.
Oh, yeah.
That was another outlandish comment by Arnie Spanier.
Those are the things I put up when the PETA police are going to come.
Yeah, the lynx. That's the name of the Minnesota WNBA
team. So what the hell does that have to do? No, there's an animal called
that. They look like.
That.
That's what I'm looking at a picture of a bobcat right now.
Are you supposed to make yourself big, or is that when a bear comes by? I don't know.
Issue for you.
See, I was thinking maybe I give her pepper spray. But then I'm like, what is she going to do? Stand there until the thing comes at 80 miles an hour at her and spray it in the face? By the way, does this thing run like a puma? Okay. You ever seen like a puma run? They run like at 100 miles an hour.
A puma is a cougar / catamount.
Oh, because I
slash mountain lion wow. / panther.
So it could be any one of them.
This wow. world is full of cougars.
So they're just running around Williston. The puma, catamount, bobcat.
Here they are. They are highly unlikely to attack
Rex.
People.
Highly unlikely.
But it is possible that bobcat might attack pets or farm animals.
Well, that's a shocker.
An encounter might frighten a child. As with many, bobcats tend to be nervous near people and are not difficult to scare away. They say make loud noises. Lay on your car horn. That'll go over big.
Well, if I'm in a car, jackass, I would drive away, would I not?
What kind of honk the horn? Honk it.
How about if I just get in the car and lock the doors and drive away?
All right, here you
Could
go.
Could that be a good answer?
Banging metal items like pans together. So next time you go for a walk, bring a bunch of pans.
No, I was waiting for you to say, bang metal items together like guns. That way you're scared away instead of shooting it. I just
Please
don't.
Arnie, God. Oh my goodness.
Arnie, did you really just say that?
But they're not pets. These are not pets. They're not like, oh, here, kitty. Let me feed you a
Yeah,
a
and neither are wild elephants, but we've still got rules that say you can't do things to them.
Well, when they charge at me and want to kill me, I just want to know, should my wife run with the dogs or just like walk slowly so she could be eaten? Well, I doubt she could be out running a cougar, bobcat, Tyrannosaurus
you.
Rex at 80 miles an hour.
Through the streets of Williston.
We saw a lady running traffic this morning on 89 as we saw a lady running away from a bobcat.
Just bring pots and pans.
Yeah, walk with
pots. The neighbors will love you.
Yeah, walk with pots and pans. And that way you can just bang them as you're walking around every house in the neighborhood.
Just announce your
presence. Clang, clang, clang.
There's that crazy woman walking through the neighborhood at 5 in the morning with her pots and pans.
Are you reading all these texts? Because I can't. There's like a million of them.
I don't know what Chris and Virgin's and many dead rabbits. I have no idea what
everyone
that means,
wants to know. Everyone just says it's probably a bobcat. It's more scared of you than you are of it.
Oh, yeah?
And Luke and Charlotte says, I'll put my money on the bobcat.
Absolutely.
And Glenn in Moncton says there are mountain lions. Did it have a short or long tail?
Like, I'm going to know that. Like, oh, look, Beth. Don't worry. You know, I got to tell you, when we were on vacation in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and my kid was only about like 6 years old, 7 years old. He's in the water, and I see the fins, like three or four. And I'm screaming, get out of the water, shark, get out of the water. And people look at me like I'm a maniac. People come running out of the water. And the father goes, I think those are dolphins. And I said, you think or do you know? He goes, I think. I go, you go in there. You find out for me then. I go, you go in there and find out if they're dolphins or sharks and report back to me then.
By the way, your wife says it was nothing. A little smaller than Stanley.
Stanley's my big dog.
Oh, okay.
Stanley is
He's not that big a dog.
He's like 55, 60 pounds. You want to be eaten by a catamount at 60 pounds, big boy? I want
if
to
you're
see.
You're going to go. You might as well go with the state symbol.
Might as well go ahead and do that. All right. One other thing. By the way, so you tell us what to do on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. We got a lot to get to. I had so much more to get to. Oh, and I was right.
Uh-oh.
You sent me that article about the Major League Baseball tax. What did you think about that?
In some of the states, you are right that Major League Baseball players do actually have to pay taxes on the money that they earn on road trips in certain states.
Right.
Not all of them.
That's unbelievable.
That's insane.
Yeah.
How much do they lose out on? Do they even get 50 cents on the dollar?
So the $300 million becomes like $100 million.
That's just crazy. You have to have plenty of tax write-offs. That's insane.
So does that mean every time I went to Tri-City, I owe the city of Albany because I made money doing the broadcast of a game?
No, not you.
Yeah,
they don't care
the baseball players.
I owe you a dollar.
So, like, if you're playing for the Royals and you go to New York and play for the against the Yankees,
yeah,
a three-game set, you got to pay a little extra taxes for that three-game set.
Those poor guys, how do they feed
their
family?
Is that insane or what? Brady, what's coming up on the show today? What's going on?
You always say what's coming up on the show today, but you neglect to say what's coming up this week. This week. Thursday's opening day, we'll be watching at RJ's, Sam Adams specials, IPAs, Red Sox ticket giveaways. We're doing that at Reuben James. On Thursday, we've got trivia starting next week at the Burger Bar on Tuesday. It starts Tuesday, April 3rd, 7:30 to 9:30. They'll have half-price appetizers,
yes,
prizes, swag, more, great beer, good people, and it'll be a lot of fun. As for what's coming up today,
yes,
Giants Brass spoke at the owners' meetings. That's coming up in 10 minutes. Some UVM hoop players are heading down near to the Final Four. We'll tell you that story. Tom Caron of Ness at 435, the NFL with some new rules. But first, you can no longer accuse the Yankees of buying their championships.
Yes.
The Red Sox have the highest payroll in baseball for the first time since 1990.
Wow. You know, and I know we're laughing about this, but the Dodgers get a lot of criticism for this. And this is something we don't criticize the Red Sox for. That is just atrocious. Where you're the highest payroll team like that, and you're really no closer to a World Series, it shows you the ineptitude of some of the contracts that were given out, like the Price, like the Pedroia, like the Hanley Ramirez.
Hanley was a killer.
Yeah, I mean, there's and I'm missing one more. I forget who
well,
else.
Oh, they won a World Martinez.
No, they've won a World Series with Pedroia's contract. Yeah,
and
easy there, big
and
boy.
For you saying they have no chance, I mean, huh? Really? They're one of about six or seven teams that could win it this year.
I don't think they have a chance. I don't think they're any closer to it. Who's the one that we got rid of and went back to the Giants? Who did I say that? Did they give them to?
What are you talking about?
The big contract that...
You mean the Dodgers that we gave to?
No, whatever. There's like four or five contracts that are just absolutely ridiculous.
Beckett, Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez.
No, but it's just overall, though, they should be criticized more in the front office. And we don't do that. We don't criticize the front office for some of the bad moves they've made. That's why they're in the position that they are right now. I give them credit for able to get Sale and stuff like that. But they're in a bad position because they've had bad contract signings.
Well, the biggie is David Price. But, I mean, did that really seem like a bad thing at the time? All he'd done is win. Granted, he stunk in the postseason. But, I mean, Price never had any bad seasons until he came to the Red Sox.
I think the biggest thing is really how do Red Sox fans feel knowing that they are now the number one payroll in baseball? And there's the Yankees all the way down at seven, actually. So all this talk about, oh, the evil empire, all this talk about, oh, the Yankees buy their titles. Right. And here the Red Sox are trying to out-Yankee the Yankees now by a wide margin.
Well, that's not really fair because I don't think Judge gets the big money yet. So wait till
And what do you think about you? You just made my point.
Okay, I made his point there, Rich. Go ahead.
In the Arnie Spanier world, you don't have prospects.
Oh,
you
Pablo Sandoval. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You don't have. You don't have young and affordable players in Arnie's world. You don't have prospects that you develop, and then you get to keep them for 5 years where they don't make a lot of money, like Aaron Judge. In Arnie's world, you just trade all your prospects away for people like Chris Sale, and then you have to give them big money like you gave David Price, and you just go and sign people for big money like J.D. Martinez. So in Arnie's world, here you are criticizing the Red Sox, but yeah, this is all you wanted them to do.
But you're making my – you can't go ahead and pat the Red Sox front office on the back and say, oh, look how good they are, how close they are to making
a World
Series.
I've never patted them on the back, I don't pat them on the back because they traded away all their prospects. The Red Sox don't have many players – like Aaron Judge. I'm not even talking about of that caliber. They don't. Devers makes no money. Benintendi makes no money.
Betts.
And at the moment, Betts still makes little money.
I don't have a problem with Pedroia and Price making. Or excuse me, I take that back. I don't have a problem with players making that type of money. But they've got to earn the contract. That's why when I say Pedroia and Price and mistakes like that and Sandoval, that's it. Let me explain something to you in case you guys don't understand. Because of the Price contract and the money they're giving him, they will never do that for another pitcher. Sale will be punished because of what Price is doing. Sale won't get a 5-year deal. I promise you that. They won't give the big contracts. They won't give a five. What did Pedroia get? 6 years?
He got 8 years.
8 years. Not on anybody's deathbed will they ever give 8 years again. I don't care if he's Mr. Red Sox from day one. They'll never do that again. They learned their lesson.
I think these are cyclical. I mean, I know it's been the Dodgers 4 years in a row, but it's always going to be the same seven or eight teams, but they're going to fluctuate from year to year. But no, look, as a Sox lifer, I admit it. I was right up on that bandwagon of, oh, you're buying yourself championships, the evil empire and all that when it came to the Yankees. There's nothing I can say about this. I mean, the only thing I can think of, and it doesn't really matter because this is a very black and white issue. The numbers are what they say they are. But four of those contracts are almost half of the entire salary base for the Boston Red Sox.
Well,
so.
the Red Sox need more players like Benintendi, Bradley,
yes.
Betts. They need more of these homegrown guys. They need a next wave of homegrown guys. We see the same thing in the NFL. The only difference is that there's a hard salary cap in the NFL. You have to win when your players are young and making no money. You have to. This is why the Rams are doing what they're doing now in the NFL. They can afford Ndamukong Suh, and they can afford to trade for Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib because at this moment in time, Jared Goff is making no money. At the moment when he makes a bunch of money, you can't spend like that. That's why the Seahawks are, for all purposes, done as a major contender right now in the NFC because their quarterback has aged out of making no money. The Red Sox, they need more players that are young and controllable and not making a lot of money. They don't have that, and that is a front office failure. We're saying the same result, but you got there in very different ways.
You gave me grief about what I said, oh, I want this this veteran or that veteran and get rid of the youngsters out there. If I told you, okay, Brady, let's clean it up. Let's go ahead and bring down that payroll, and we're going to start cutting payroll. First person you'd have to cut is Sale. You wouldn't have to be able to re-sign him. I mean, Pedroia's got his money guaranteed. Price has got his money. If I told you to start cutting money, you wouldn't like that, Brady. I promise you that.
Or bets.
There's a very big difference, Arnie. I'm not saying cut payroll. I'm not saying turn into the Marlins.
Right.
I'm saying if we had this conversation last year, you would say, trade Aaron Judge. I don't need him. I need a proven player.
I wouldn't have said
Judge. You would. You would have said Aaron Judge was a guy who didn't even hit 200 in his first sniff in the minor leagues, and all he did.
But he was making less than $1 million. That's the.
But you said you've told me prospects get you fired, Brady. Prospects get you fired.
Well, at least
at one point, Aaron Judge was a prospect who did nothing.
No, you're right. But if you're going to make $1 million, I'll give you a shot. If you're making the money like Price and Pedroia and stuff like, I don't have patience for you.
You would have traded Devers for Justin Verlander last year.
Just so you understand, you want to know the difference between a good contract and a bad contract? Here's how you can figure it out. If Pedroia and Price were on the open market and we said, free to anybody who wants them, just pick up the contract, there wouldn't be one baseball team that would pick them up. Either one of those guys.
You're missing my point.
Okay, go ahead.
We are talking about the Red Sox inability and unwillingness to develop a farm system beyond the young players they already have up right now. Okay. You would have traded Rafael Devers for Justin Verlander last season.
Perhaps I would have. Yes, Brad. But you know what? Didn't that win a World Series for the Astros?
Did.
Yeah.
But
I might have made that trade too, even as a Sox fan.
You would have done those kind of things. I'm not as willing to do that when you don't have a. You need young, controllable players that are good and making no money so that free agency can be an accentuation of your farm system development, not a savior for the franchise.
All right. What are we going to do right now, Brady? So I'll let you take over this.
Well, earlier,
because
I have no idea.
Thinking?
Yes, it involves thinking and saying stuff.
Now that we've yelled at each other and called each other morons.
Yeah, it's fun. I just sit back and watch.
All right, Golic and Wingo, word of the day. It started today. You listen to Golic and Wingo at 7:55 and 8:55 today. You know what the word of the day is. If you can be caller number 5 to tell us Golic and Wingo's word of the day, you're going to win Red Sox tickets to April 7th against the Rays. All you need to do is tell us that word of the day.
All right, fifth caller, word of the day, 802-655-6672. You'll see the 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month.
All right.
This is The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN. It's a super busy Tuesday. Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Mike's got a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one.
It was an Arizona Wildcat, completely harmless. So. That hurts.
Arnie, how would a Wildcat do against a bull from Buffalo?
Oh, stop it. Come on now.
Well, I'm just wondering, how would it do?
Wow. We got a lot on the whole Bobcat, Catamount, Tiger,
including
cougar.
Pictures.
Yeah, somebody sent us a picture, which...
Is that walking through the
Williston
neighborhood?
If I saw that, I'd run like a little girl. Just
if
screaming.
You're just tuning in, Beth Ernie's saintly wife, and I do mean the word in all caps, saw what she thought was a bobcat, which was very scary in the boxes in the field in Williston today.
I'm shocked, really, because I didn't think those things ran wild. We have a lot of homes up there. We have a lot of construction, so...
Yes.
I don't know why that thing would be running around, except looking for food. I've seen deer in the backfield, no doubt about that. Yeah, they've been out there. Brady, do we have a winner for the Red Sox tickets?
We do. It's Travis from Williston, so he's won our first tickets. We are going to do another giveaway in hour number 2, so be listening again at 5:20, and we'll ask you for Golic and Wingo's word of the day.
Yes, and just to be clear, because this is the first day, if you're caller 5, that doesn't do you any good.
You got to know the
5 is just the first step.
Yeah, you got to know the... You got to know the word of the day.
Which means you need to listen at what, 7:55, 8:55?
You have to listen at 7:55 and 8:55.
Okay.
I'm calling,
Arnie, I know the rules.
By the way, I'm calling Brady out. Yesterday he called me out because I said that Greg Bird was out 6 to 8 weeks without surgery. And he goes, you don't listen to the show? You didn't say that, Brady. You just came back and said, oh, it was his foot.
I said it was his ankle.
Yeah, but you didn't say nothing about surgery 6 to 8 weeks,
Yes, I did.
No.
Yes.
Did he say that?
I don't know, but this is becoming the easiest show for me ever. You two just continue.
All right.
Just yell at each other.
I didn't know. I didn't hear that part. I'm still calling BS on you. I don't know if I heard that part there. Let's get to the four-minute football fix. Four-minute football fix.
He hates football flicks.
Yeah, he hates when I say that. He just hates that.
All right. Owners meetings going on. Giants head coach Pat Shurmur says that the team is, quote, not a total rebuild. Do you agree with that statement? Do you agree with that mentality by the Giants?
Do I agree with that mentality about you can't get rid of talent?
That's Dave Gettleman. No. So that's not Pat Shurmur. But anyways.
Well, who repeat it then?
Okay. Pat Shurmur, the new head coach of the Giants, said the Giants are not a total rebuild. You have said they are a rebuild. They traded Jason Pierre-Paul. They might trade Odell Beckham Jr. You have said they're a rebuild. The head coach is saying they are not.
No, I think he's lying. I think he's lying.
Right, but he's, I mean, what else is he going to say? I mean, I know this is what I always say about this, but what's the guy going to do? Look in the camera and say, absolutely.
Well, look at the word in there. He's saying total. It may not be a total rebuild. Maybe it's just a rebuild.
Sell that to the season ticket holders.
Right, and they're going to get, I told you yesterday, they're going to get rid of Odell Beckham Jr., and today it looks like they will get rid of Odell Beckham Jr. I think he's going to go to Cleveland. I think the Giants are going to stock up on draft picks, and they're going to use it to take Josh Allen because they don't want to take the number 2 pick with Rosen. But with all that being said, yes, it is a rebuilding mold. He knows it. The Giant fans know it. And I told you yesterday, I've been telling you for about 2 weeks, for crying out loud. That's exactly what's going on. That's why they got rid of JPP. That's why this is Eli Manning's last year.
Well, he also said, Shurmur did yesterday in his comments, that he met with Beckham last week when he was out in L.A. scouting a couple of quarterbacks. I think it was Rosen and Darnold. Obviously, they're out there anyway. Does that matter to you, the fact that he reached out to Odell Beckham Jr. and had a private conversation with him? Do you think that favors him coming back? I mean, or are they just trying to establish guidelines?
I think that's typical. Guy in the head coaching position takes a new job. He wants to connect with players that are on his roster. Right now, Odell Beckham Jr. is on his roster. So I would be more worried if he didn't call Odell Beckham Jr. about Shurmur's ability to be a head coach again. But no, I think that's totally typical. I can't say it's a total rebuild. This team welcomed back Eli Manning, this new ownership group, this new head coach, or this new upper management group and new head coach hierarchy. They said Eli Manning is our guy. If it were a total rebuild, Eli Manning, one, wouldn't be back, and two, wouldn't be the starter. So it can be. This is what is good, but also scary. I've made this comparison before if you're a Giant fan. The New York Giants are about to be the New York Knicks. They are going to try to make some moves that help you win now while also having an eye on the future, and you have no idea if either plan is going to work. Look at what the Knicks have done. The Knicks have butchered draft pick after draft pick outside of Kristaps Porzingis, and they have tried to put Band-Aids on things by signing veterans like Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, and that's backfired too. So if the Giants don't win this year with Eli Manning and it becomes a total rebuild, then you wasted the year.
Only reason they're not getting rid of him now is because they want the quarterback to learn under Eli for 1 year. It's not like you're going to throw him to the Wolves.
Still not a total rebuild.
No, you can't say rebuild. You think Nate Solder leaves New England if he hears he's going to rebuild? You just can't use that term
maybe
to the media,
can't use it.
Especially
like I said,
in the number one media market.
Well, I said that's why I said the word total. Maybe it's not a total rebuild. Maybe it's just a rebuild. Yeah. I don't care what you call it. They're not going to win anything this year.
I think that the Giants are in a position where they are going to try to win this year. I mean, they're not tanking. I don't see them doing what we thought the Jets were doing last year. I don't see them doing what we look at teams in the NBA doing. They're going to try to win. I don't know that their talent level will allow them to win above 7 or 8 games at the ceiling, but they are not totally tearing this thing down. They're going to look at it and say, we're going to play as hard as we can this year. We've got some pieces in place that we think we can be competitive, but they are going to look for an eye for the future, and I think they've got their foot in both camps. And as a Giant fan, you look and say, well, we kept Eli Manning. Well, if we've got OBJ, we've got OBJ. We've still got Landon Collins. We've still got Sterling Shepard. We've got some pieces here that could win, but they've got their foot in both camps.
Reminds me a little of what the Celtics did about 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, especially if they get rid of Beckham. I mean, imagine the stockpile of draft picks that team is in. And I'm not talking about 3rd and 4th rounders here. I mean, they're going to end up with all these top picks if they get rid of him, especially to Cleveland. who's got an abundance of picks. It feels a little Celtics-ish to me.
Well, if you think the Giants are going to have a semi-decent year this year and maybe sneak into the playoffs, I advise you to go to Vegas. Vegas has them the fourth worst team to win the Super Bowl. So
wow.
Get yourself some money and win it, because Vegas is saying no way in hell.
I made this point yesterday on Champlain Valley Game Night. I think the Giants, if Cleveland comes calling with an offer for OBJ, I think the Giants should look into it. The Giants only have 6 draft picks. The Giants do have a lot of needs, and they have the fewest amount of draft picks in the entire draft right now at 6. They don't even have, on average, 1 per round. So they would be better served listening to offers for Odell Beckham Jr. or anyone else on their roster, but I don't think this is a total rebuild.
I think what they want to do is drop a little bit, get the Saquon Barkley, and then use one of those late first-round picks to get Josh Allen. But they will take more draft picks in return if they want to go ahead and get rid of Odell Beckham Jr. So I think they want to stockpile on this draft to be. I think that's what's going to end up happening. I've been right about the Giants for day one. I've been on exactly. I said JPP, they're going to rebuild.
Well, except for the part about they're going to win the Super Bowl last year.
Except that part.
That was just a minor
and
one.
They will. And nobody thought, everybody was blowing smoke about getting rid of Odell. There's no smoke being blown here. He's going to get traded.
I still don't know that officially, but I think how do you know?
Barney tells you.
I know. I'm telling you.
It must be true.
Yes, exactly. You see it going on. If they don't trade him, I'd be shocked. Absolutely shocked. You see this going on. And by the way, it's the right football move to go and get rid of him. You're not going to win it all this year. You're not even going to come in close. You might as well start waiting for the next round. You got the new GM. You got a new coach. Get yourself a new quarterback, and you start rebuilding. It's not brain science here.
And it doesn't help that he's sitting there saying,
surgery?
I will not report to camp this year.
Excuse me, but
you have a year left on your contract.
See, Arnie, I agree with you that I would, if I were the Giants, potentially trade Odell Beckham Jr. I'm okay with that, but I don't know that we can say, oh, it's the right move just because they're not winning this year. Because Eli Manning's probably going to be gone after this year. Whether he retires or whether he's cut, he's going to be off the books. You're going to have 2 cheap quarterbacks in Davis Webb and whoever you draft this year. You can afford to give Odell Beckham Jr. big money and say, yeah, we might not win it this year, but we've got a 3-year plan. We've got a 4-year plan. We might win it while you're still on this roster and still a viable contributor to this team. So if you trade him, you're trading him because of the distraction factor. You're trading him because of the value you can get back, not because you're not going to win this year.
Well, I think you're trading him both reasons. One, you're not going to win this year. 2, you're going to get the quarterback that you want. So, because I don't think they want to go ahead and take Josh Rosen. So I think that's what
you told us yesterday they were going to.
No, I said the number 2 pick was going to be Rosen.
You said the Giants are going to take him at number 2.
I said they trade with Arizona or with Buffalo. I said the number 2 pick is going to be Josh Rosen.
I will
Rosen.
Pull yesterday's show, yesterday's, in which you said, the Giants are taking Rosen number 2. I've been right about the Giants from day one.
I have been right about them since day one. I told you exactly they were going to make all these trades. But you watch, the second pick will be Rosen. It's if the Giants trade down because they want to go and get more draft picks. And I don't think Eli Manning will be around after this year. I've been saying that for a long, long time. All right, what did you want to get to here, Brady?
I want to get to Tom Caron now.
Oh, I want to get to the 3-on-3 tournament. We can't get to that.
We got to Tom Caron.
Rich, you got to slow down, buddy.
I know. I had a lot to do with that segment. Yeah.
Tom Caron's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Tom Caron going to join us moments away. We're getting a lot on the Tom Fair Tire text line. What's the one? Wow, Arnie and Brady getting at it. That's Andrew and Williston.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, me too.
While we're waiting, I'll give you a choice. Which one do you want to talk about? I have 2 great topics here. One we could do about the 3-on-3 tournament that you had down, which I'm very interested in. Or I don't even want to get to that. The other one I was going to say, the world's worst coach that has me so aggravated. I'm just beside myself. And it's not even in this area. But
it wasn't your kid's coach?
No, it has nothing to do with it. It's actually one of the worst things I've ever heard in Division I sports, and it's never happened before. At least I've never read about this, and it's It's infuriating.
Oh, what a tease.
So you tell me which one you wanted to get to.
Let's get to the 3-on-3.
All right, get to the 3-on-3. What's going on with the 3-on-3 tournament?
So at the Final Four is in San Antonio.
Well, yeah.
We told you yesterday on Champlain Valley Game Night that Trey Bell Haynes was invited to play in the Senior All-Star Game.
Yes.
So we've known that. He's also going to play with Peyton Henson in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. So it's – well, I got to answer for Tom Kerr.
I get that.
No, but I mean, we could speak while he's getting the phone. See, there are actually only three of us here. We are the station,
and
so.
And I'll get to the story about the worst coach also.
But I mean, to me, that 3-on-3 thing.
Oh, that's going to be
that
a fantastic.
Is must watch.
Absolutely, for us. Absolutely. I'm very excited about that. I'm
on a national stage.
Yeah,
it's on ESPN2 Friday night.
All
bring
right.
it on.
Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week from this, and it's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
Good. Hey, we saw that article about the Red Sox now as the highest payroll in baseball. Does that surprise you at all, or what do you take from that, TC?
No. It shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, they did the Price deal. They did the Porcello deal before that. You got Sale making some money. They go out and add J.D. Martinez. I mean, this is a big payroll team. And, you know, I think they'd love to get under some of that, but you're still – I mean – don't forget, they're paying $18 million to Pablo Sandoval this season. Okay, so there's some money being thrown around on that payroll. Okay?
That hurts. Hey, I asked Buster this last week, and all they've done is continue to win and pound the ball. Does it matter that the Sox had the best record in spring training and that they pounded the ball going into the season?
No.
Okay, that's the opposite of what Buster said.
As the bus heads north on 75, they have the same number of wins as the Miami Marlins.
Oh!
All right.
Well, see, Rich looks at the storyline as of spring training as their record. I look at it as the injuries. Steven Wright, Eduardo Rodriguez, Drew Pomeranz are all on the DL. What can you tell us about that pitching staff?
Yeah, it's really not a big deal. And it might be a different story if they didn't have all the off days. You know, most teams generally have an off day early, and they don't. It's unusual that they have six games in 6 days to start the season because they're all under, you know, the Tropicana Field and whatever they call the field in Miami. they both have roofs. So they're going to play six in a row. They need five starters. After that, you look at the calendar, and I think I told you before that they have three off days in 6 days, which is crazy. And they don't need a fifth starter again until I think it's April 14th or 15th. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're going to be careful either way. These guys are put on the DL. I talked to Eduardo Rodriguez this morning, and he thinks he'll be perfectly ready to make his turn, you know, the 10th or 11th or 12th start of the season when they need him. So it's really one start for Velasquez. Johnson might get a couple out of it when it's all said and done, but you shouldn't panic too much about these guys being on the DL. It was expected. Wright is going to be a while now because, you know, the DL pushes him back, and then he starts the 15-game suspension after he gets off the DL. So he won't be around for a while.
Did you say Devers also? What's up with Devers and his knee?
Yeah, Devers said he's fine. He said it'd be in the lineup opening day. Knee was sore. This morning it wasn't bad. He was hitting in the cage. Didn't do any running today. He'll try to test it out running tomorrow when they have a workout at Tropicana Field. And both he and Cora said he'll be in the lineup Thursday.
TC, you mentioned that schedule. It sure looks good. They don't have to get on a plane, really, and go anywhere other than to Miami, which is a quick trip, I would assume. They're going to be right there in Tampa. First six games on the road, great weather, indoors, as you said, if necessary, with Miami. Bad teams, I mean, other than Archer, I look at the lineup, and then you get a 10-game homestand with three more with Tampa, and granted, the Yankees are in there too, but then four with Baltimore before they head west. I mean, this smacks of a 10-6 start to me, if not better.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's really the first 10 games, or what is it, 10? It's nine, right? It's four with Tampa Bay, two with Miami, and then three with Tampa Bay.
Yep.
So your first nine games, I mean, seriously, you ought to be 7-2.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's, you know, you don't win just by showing up, but if they're under six wins at that point, I think you got the right to be disappointed. New York will be tough, and we've talked about that. That's an early season test. I like that they're playing quickly, get a little test of each other, and then move on. Don't sleep on Baltimore. I mean, I don't know how long it'll be until Alex Cobb's ready to start a game, but that was a great pickup by them. They're a team that's going to mash the ball. And with Alex Cobb and Andrew Cashner, I think they're going to be better. I think they're going to be a sneaky team in there this year now that they added some pitching. So and Buck Showalter's always got them fired up to beat the big, bad Red Sox and Yankees, and he plays that whole bully card pretty well there. for the Orioles. So, but you're right. It's a favorable schedule, especially at the beginning. They should be able to get some momentum going and get off to a good start.
Tom Karen, our Red Sox insider at Nesson, with us here on the Huddle, as he is every week at this time. The schedule is extreme. I think it's very favorable, but your biggest homestand of the year in April followed immediately by a 9-game road swing. I don't remember teams going at both ends of this of the extremes in April.
Yeah, this is as early in a West Coast trip as we've seen in a long time. And you get a whole lot of Tampa Bay. You get 10 games against them in April. I'll tell you straight out, I mean, it's not going to be good for ratings. Tampa Bay doesn't excite a lot of people. The West Coast games never draw that well because they're late, obviously. You're going to have a red-hot Bruins team in the playoffs. You're going to have the Celtics in the playoffs. There's going to be a lot of competition. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I won't be surprised to hear a lot of people in late April, oh, the numbers are down, the ratings are down, nobody likes this team. I mean, Arnie's going to be feeding off this. And we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, as the helicopter's about to fly overhead, so I apologize for that. Hanley Ramirez might be getting to Tampa Bay before everybody else.
But you're right.
The truth of it is that, you know, the schedule doesn't loan itself to great numbers early. On the other hand, you know, you do jump out to an 8-1 start or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
And maybe it goes the other way. Maybe you bash on these bad teams and people do jump aboard early.
All right. Now that spring training just about done, how's Cora done? Is it going to do anything different? Could you see that things are different now with the way he's going to go ahead and run the team?
Yeah, I think the specific things you look for that'll be different under Alex Cora. First of all, it's the offensive approach. I think they're going to be more aggressive. I don't think they're going to work to count as much. You know, we always seem to be talking about how good Xander Bogaerts is with two strikes. Well, that's because he's always up there with two strikes. And I think that he really wants to change that. He likes to talk about hunting strikes and getting after strikes early in the count because that might be the best and only pitch you see to hit. So I do think you'll see guys swinging earlier in counts and being more aggressive. I think they're going to be a little less aggressive on the base paths. It was, to me, stunning when he told Lou Maloney down here in Boston early in the spring training that as a bench coach on the Houston Astros, the scouting report on the Red Sox was if you throw it to the right base, you'll probably throw them out. And it's almost like a Little League running report that they're just going to keep running until you throw them out. We know how aggressive they were under John Farrell and Brian Butterfield. I think you're going to see a much more measured approach from this team on the base path. So, and then last but not least, I think you'll see the bench used a little more often. You know, they did that to great success in Houston, where some of the guys didn't quite get quite as many games early in the season and were more rested for the stretch run and for the playoffs. And I think that's where Swihart and Holt and then Nunez after Pedroia comes back are going to get a chance to play a lot of baseball.
TC, how excited are you about Christian Vasquez? I mean, my goodness, he threw out, 41% of the base runners to lead baseball last year. You got two more hits to wrap things up today. Hit almost 400 in the spring, and I know that doesn't matter, but I was glad to see them get him in the fold for a couple of years.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a question we've been asking for a while, right? How are they going to lock up all these young players? How are they going to lock up the core? And he's not Mookie Betts or Xander Bogaerts or Benintendi or Devers, but he's a pretty important part of this team. And I think locking him up on a team-friendly contract that gave him some security is a great move, and that's a great first step by Dombrowski. Doesn't look like they'll be getting anyone else done at the moment, but you got to start locking up some of these guys if you want them to be your core for the future.
TC, I got two questions for you. Thursday, how unfortunate is it that opening day happens to fall on the same day as Bruins Lightning, the biggest hockey game of the year? At least the opening day game is a couple hours earlier, but I wish they were separate.
Yeah, I think it works out perfect.
Yeah.
It's a 4 o'clock game. It's going to end right around face-off time. You know, you map it out so that around lunchtime you come back coughing a little bit and say, hey, boss, I got a little itch going here in the throat. I don't know what's going on. I'd hate to get everybody else in the office sick, so I think I'm going to go home and get some rest. 4 o'clock, you watch the Red Sox. 7 o'clock, you watch Bruins Lightning.
Yeah.
I think it takes up perfectly.
Well, yeah, it works out perfectly. Maybe now with the new offensive approach, maybe the game won't take 8 hours, which is what it would have taken last year.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, there's no pitch count yet. No pitch clock yet, I mean. So it probably will bleed into the first period a little bit. That's a good point by you. Although Chris Sale works quickly.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that last year.
Yep.
He gets it and throws it.
TC, I have to know this question. I've been meaning to ask you for weeks now. So one of my favorite movies is The Town. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's the Boston kind of...
Well, oh, yeah. I haven't seen it. My voice is in it.
That's what I'm about to ask you. No, I watch it all the time. It's on TV like every night now. I love that movie. There's a clip where Ben Affleck and the other guy are sitting at the restaurant, and there's a Red Sox game in the background, and that's your voice doing the play-by-play. Do you get royalties from that?
I got paid for that, man. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that, you big Hollywood star.
I believe it's me and Jim Rice talking about Nomar, if I recall.
No, there's about David Ortiz.
Oh, David Ortiz. Okay, so, yeah, you walk in, and it's Ortiz and me. You don't see us, but you hear us. And there was one chance that they're actually going to use the video. I would have got a bigger check. But that didn't work out. They just used the audio. But I may have told you guys a story before. When I was doing minor league hockey a long time ago, they used my play-by-play in the classic, I can't believe it didn't win an Academy Award, Pet Sematary 3.
Oh, I missed that one.
A big movie. And they're sitting in a living room, and it's play-by-play in the background, hockey play-by-play, and it's my play-by-play.
Oh.
And they get the minor league guys because, you know, we weren't in a union or anything, and they didn't have to pay us much. And so the great thing was you get these weird royalty checks over time, and I literally once got a check for like 18 cents from the whatever it is guild, because like in Holland they put it on pay per view or something like that. It's just I have no idea how it works, but yes, I am well aware of the bar scene in The Town.
So every time that I watch it, I'm contributing to you getting another $1.50 or something for that.
Unfortunately, it doesn't quite work that way. My checks have been cashed long ago, and there's no more coming in.
I love it. All right, TC, always a pleasure, my friend. Friend, look forward to opening day. We'll catch up with you next week.
Great stuff, guys. Thanks.
All right, take care. Tom Karen, everybody on the TikTok Jewelers Guest
Line. So you, with Bernadette Fusco, or whatever the hell that woman's name was.
And, Simona Fusco.
And Simona Fusco and Tom Karen and The
it
Town.
It was Big Hollywood Stars,
right? Pet Sematary 3.
I didn't know there was a 3.
I didn't know there was a 1. Yeah, there you go. I had no idea.
Actually, it was pretty good. The first one was.
All right, we'll get back on, but not forgotten as we wrap up hour number one right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, I start with this famous actor. I mean, underrated actor.
Tom Karen?
We'll see about that.
Wow.
Arnie Spanier?
Dudley Moore passed away at the age of 66 back in 2002 of Arthur fame.
Yes.
I don't know. Was he in any other movie besides Arthur?
I don't read. I couldn't tell you, but he was something in that
he
movie.
He was great in
Liza
that movie.
Manella.
You know the Arthur? No,
the only Arthur I know is the kids cartoon where LeBron posted the meme. That's the only one I know.
Oh, yeah. My kid used to watch that all the time.
No, Dudley Moore was awesome in Arthur.
He was completely drunk the entire movie.
I think he really was.
I don't think any. He said that he actually was.
I heard he was a good guy, too. 66 years old. That's awfully young. Anyway, passed away in 2002. Rich, go ahead.
Gone but not forgotten, Isaiah Thomas's career. Hips. He's got the hip thing going again. He's going for a second opinion on his sore hip, but he has left the Lakers. And have you ever seen a guy's career go off the cliff faster than that guy's has?
Yes, Derrick Rose.
I've
got two gone but
not
forgotten.
All right, Brady.
One of which is awesome, one of which is incredibly infuriating and sad. First, gone but not forgotten, Arnie's credibility.
Wow!
Because earlier today you said the Giants should take Josh Allen because they don't want Josh Rosen.
Yes.
And yesterday,
go ahead.
Yesterday, this is what you told us.
Time to go ahead and get Josh Rosen in there and start the future, because Rosen's the future.
That's
my opinion. Rosen will be the future and is the number two pick. They'll take Josh Allen. They'll take the wrong quarterback.
So today, you said they should take Allen. Yesterday, you said they should take Rosen.
They should take Rosen. They're going to take Allen.
So
they should take Rosen.
Tomorrow it'll be Baker Mayfield.
So, yes, exactly. I would still take Josh Rosen.
And
that's
then they should
guy.
Trade for Ryan Tannehill. That'll be the next
Okay, good.
Yeah, gone but not forgotten. Yeah. Arnie's credibility.
Wow. Time to go ahead and get Josh Rosen in there and start the future, because Rosen's the future. I love Josh Rosen. I love Josh Rosen.
And then this one on a serious note, gone and forgotten from the Seahawks, and hopefully gone and forgotten from the society, Trayvon Boykin, former quarterback at TCU and now former Seahawks quarterback. All of this is with the caveat of their allegations, but the team has already released him. His girlfriend has come out and said, well, she's given details that of an alleged assault that says she suffered at the hands of Boykin. She had choke marks on her, strangulation. She's got a broken jaw on each side of her face. And she says this is not the first time. So, again, it's allegations, but gone and hopefully forgotten, yep. Trayvon Boykin. And he is gone from the Seahawks, so I'm happy about that. Yeah. I'm embarrassed that this guy was representing the Seahawks.
I don't even know what to say to that, so we'll move on. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. They're around 24-7 in South Burlington. They've been here over 55 years. Give them a call in your time of need. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. Real quick, Glenn and Monkton said Dudley Moore was also in the movie 10. How did I forget that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Bo Derek. Yeah, he was the guy that was stalking Bo Derek.
Yes,
around.
I think you and I probably both had that poster on our wall.
Oh, you better believe that.
Right next to Farrah Fawcett.
By the way, John Derek, who married Bo Derek, is he not the luckiest man alive? He married three of the hottest movie stars in Hollywood.
Yeah,
Linda Evans from Dallas fame.
Yes.
Bo Derek, and I think Ursula
Andress.
Andress, right.
Another
there you
10.
Go. Three Hollywood starlets. One guy married.
He married a 30.
Yeah, he married a 30. 10. How about there? We'll come back. Brady's got a Sports Center update. We'll get ready for hour number 2 coming up right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. A beautiful Tuesday out there. We got so much to get to. If you want to get through
the
conference,
it's all
beautiful.
Cloudy, and it's like the first cloudy day we've had in a week.
A little wind.
Wow, you're so gloom. Yeah. You guys are so doom and gloom. I don't understand that.
Well, Amanda, what did she call it this morning?
Stunner.
A stunner.
Yeah, it's going to be a stunner.
I was kind of bummed.
Stunningly bumming.
Wow.
Yeah. Wasn't quite what we were thinking. Maybe of course, for all we know, there may not be a cloud in the sky out there.
It's supposed to be rainy tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
A wintry mix.
All right, guys, we do have a lot to get to. I'll tell you what I want to do real quick, because we want to get to the NFL catch. And we want to get to the 3-on-3 story also. I just want to bring this up real quick. I'll do this in like less than a minute, 2 minutes.
And that's happened ever when?
Women's basketball, North Carolina Central. I know you like women's basketball, North Carolina Central, has nothing to do with women's basketball and has nothing to do with the sport. They bring him a new coach, right? The team is not one. They've had 6 losing seasons. They bring in a new coach. The coach decides, you know what? If you want me to win, I'm getting rid of everybody. Decides to cut 10 players. The other 4 are graduating. So that's what you're getting there. She cuts 10 players that have done nothing wrong, grade students. Now the kids can't graduate because they can't afford to go to school next year. So now
the whole remaining team.
She's like, I can go ahead and get 14 kids that are better. I'll start the recruiting process over. I'm a new coach. You want me to win? I'm getting rid of the 10. The other 4 and coming back because they're seniors. 14 gone. Now there were a bunch of juniors, 6 juniors on the team that will lose their scholarship, that won't be allowed to graduate unless they come up with money and pay for school themselves in the last full year as their senior year. Okay, this is all done. It's all done by the rules. I've read the rules and all that. Brady, disgusted, or is it? You got a job to do it. If you're not good enough, you got to get the hell out of here.
Disgusted.
Yeah, I mean,
real. I'm shocked you would say that.
But what's the college saying about this?
The college is behind them.
They got to let them out of the scholarship.
Yeah, the college is behind them. Say, you know what? You're fine. All the girls are gone, and you could recruit new girls, but they won't allow anybody to go on camera and talk about that. I've never seen a coach. Can you imagine if Becker left, Coach Becker, and the new coach came up and said, yeah, I don't want any of these kids. I want to bring in my own kids. Now, I understand you want to bring in your kids, and it's done by the bylaws, but I've never seen anything happen like this. I'd be so upset. I would fire this lady so fast. I would never hire a person like that.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting. I think she it's hard to say she owes it to the kids, but it is the right thing to do. Look, she's losing 4 players. Bring in 4 other players.
She wants 14.
You can bring in 5 or 6 recruits. You can tell the old players, look, you can stay, but I'm going to recruit better players than you, and you're going to be on the bench, and maybe they leave on their own.
But it's her job, Brady. I could see if you took over a baseball job, you want to bring in the best possible players so you could win. You don't want to lose your first 2, 3, 4 years, do you?
At that rate, what you tell the kids is you say this. You say the following. You can stay on scholarship, but I am going to recruit players that are going to play over you. If you want out, I will let you out. If you want to stay, understand you're going to have a reduced role, and maybe they leave on their own.
But you're hoping, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how you do it.
But to make it tough on them, you know, that's not that fair also.
You got to have a conscience, don't you? A little bit of one. I mean, I agree with Brady.
Your job is on the line, though. I'm just saying.
I mean, lay it out for them. Here's the deal. You're not good enough. Your team went 2-20 or whatever. I don't know anything about North Carolina.
They went like 8-9 games.
Yeah, so, I mean, lay it out for them and say, here's the deal, and leave it in their court, no pun intended.
I just
tell them to do what they want to do. But do you think this sets a dangerous precedent?
It does.
Are we going to look back 10 years from now and say, oh, that was the first time that happened?
It may. It does. Can you imagine if a football coach comes – how many times does a football coach want to get rid of, like, 50 guys on a team and says, maybe get in a bunch of new guys here? You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I bet you that happens a lot. All right, Brady, get the – and by the way, if you want to comment on that Tom Fair Tire text line, if you ever heard of that, 802-655-6672. Nashville, a lot of people were disturbed about that. That's why they got – I would never have known this if it wasn't, like, retweeted a bunch of times and people were up in arms over a coach doing that. And the school – actually backing her up, which is kind of upsetting about that. But get to the 3-on-3 tournament.
Well, first off, remember Thursday is opening day of baseball season. We'll be at RJ's with Sam Adams specials, IPAs, and Red Sox ticket giveaways. We're also giving away Red Sox tickets in 20 minutes with the Golic and Winko word of the day. Hint, hint.
Boss of seats.
Yep. Trivia starts next week again at the Burger Bar. We'll be there beginning next Tuesday, April 3rd, 7:30 to 9:30. Half price appetizers, prizes, swag, and more within walking distance of St. Mike's. So if you're a college student, head out there. Rich, you're going to be there on that day.
Half price appetizers.
I'm hosting.
Yes.
Yeah. And does that mean I have to come up with the questions, or is Beth going to?
Beth will have them.
Okay.
Show them for you.
All right, phew.
So we were starting to talk about this in hour one. Yeah. We didn't really get to it because we got to Tom Caron. But at the Final Four this week, there's also a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And it's 8 miles away from the Alamo Dome, which is where the Final Four is being played. But what this is that this is a tournament. It is 3-on-3 basketball. You have 4 players on your team. It allows you 1 substitute. Every conference is sending 1 3-on-3 team. So each conference is sending 4 players. They are all seniors because the minute that these seniors graduate, you know, the minute they're done with their season,
right,
their eligibility is used up and they are no longer considered amateur athletes. So there are monetary prizes here also. So for every win you get in the tournament, you get $1,000. Winning tournament team gets $50,000. So you break it down, it's like $13,000 per person. So it's a good start for someone who's still in college but is no longer an amateur athlete. So Trabell Haynes is playing with Peyton Henson, and then Jahad Thomas from UMass Lowell, and then Tanner Leisner from New Hampshire, and they are Team America East. Each conference is sending a team of seniors. So you will have 32 different conferences, 32 different teams, and you will have an NCAA tournament-style feel of 3-on-3. I think this is a fun idea. It's going to be streamed on Twitter, and it's going to be on ESPN2 on Friday night through Sunday.
I think it's fantastic. I watch sometimes. I mean, I don't go out of my way, but the 3-on-3, what's that?
Yeah, the big league or whatever it's called.
Whatever, the, you know, with the
Iverson's thing.
Yeah, Iverson's. I watch that. I'll watch a whole game of that. It's not great basketball, but I mean, I think it's hysterical with names I've seen. I would totally watch this 3-on-3 tournament. I think this is fantastic.
We have seen so many ridiculous ideas come out about, you know, trying to figure out a way to market things and put money in people's hands. But this one, and we all seem to agree here, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I mean, obviously it helps. If you've got, you know, 2 guys from UMBC and 1 guy from Leisner and you know, somebody else from UMass Lowell, as you said, maybe not so much. I mean, we're lucky because we have 2 of the best players in the league.
Right.
The fact that those 2, Henson and Trabell Haynes, are going to be there adds it to us, but that's must-watch television.
Yeah, this is great. And Arnie, I like the 3-on-3 league, too. Also, the Ice Cube League is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But see, that is aging players who are in it for a money grab.
Right.
This is young players who are hungry, 1, to make any kind of money, 2, keep their career going, because there's going to be scouts there. You know, there's going to be people that have a chance to extend these people's career, whether it be at the NBA level, at the D League level, or the G League level, or even overseas in some of these people's cases that want to keep playing and want to do it professionally. It keeps you on the radar and gets you playing a high level of basketball. And, again, what we love about March Madness is the upset potential. Well, you're going to have the same thing here because each conference is having a team. You could see the America East against the ACC.
Right,
you could see the SWAC against the Big 12. This is cool.
Jake and Wilson said, I've been waiting for the 3-on-3 in the NBA All-Star or Olympics for years. I love this and I watch tons. Rich, when we were younger, and people may not know this, I've seen the video. They used to play horse at halftime, and then one year they had one-on-one games at halftime.
Yep.
The horse game, I saw a horse game between George Gervin and Pete Maravich. Brady, you first of all, he
was a great shooter ever.
Some of the shots that Pete made, he was standing on the baseline, he would jump backwards and make a layup. I go, I don't think I could do that.
Right, half-court hook shots.
It was great, and they did that as a halftime thing, and people swamped to that. And the 101 was won by Jeff Petrie one year, the old guard for Portland.
Blazer.
I mean, they had some of the best names playing, and that people loved that. I would die for that in the NBA now.
Yeah, I think that I think this is phenomenal for all the reasons we just said. And then you throw in also the fact that they are playing for something. They're playing for tangible money now. They're playing for possible money later. And it's very cool the way that they're seeding this tournament. So, again, 32 conferences. We're going to have a bracket the same as you have in the NCAA tournament. There's four brackets of eight teams. So you have four regions, and they are going to actually seed this based on the conference RPI. So you're going to see the number one RPI league in the country, which this year was the Big 12, and the number 32 RPI league in the country this year, which was the SWAC. So they're going to end up.
Cinderella.
So they're going to end up being in the same bracket.
Awesome.
You've got the same upset potential. You've got the same upset potential as you do in the NCAA tournament. And in some cases, I think the little conference is going to have a real chance to win some of these matchups because you look at it and say, well, which teams, one, are still playing in the Final Four? That knocks out a couple of. That knocks out some Big Ten options because Michigan can't send their players, their seniors. That knocks out Villanova out of the Big East team. That knocks out Kansas out of that number one Big 12 team. So there's some chances there. You look at it and say, well, what if teams' best players are underclassmen laden? They can't send – those guys can't go because it has to be a senior thing.
Right.
So at leagues like the America East where seniors dominate it, you're going to send some pretty experienced good players. In some of these bigger leagues where underclassmen dominate and you have one-and-done players, the seniors might not be the best players in the league. So you might be able to see an America East knock off at SEC.
So this is all day Friday, or when does it start, do you know?
Friday, 7 to midnight. It will be streaming on Twitter and on ESPN2.
Awesome.
And then it will continue on with the next round of games on Saturday and then on Sunday. So Saturday's got to be early because the Final Four is later.
Right.
So it's got to be earlier Saturday.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. First-time texter. What kid in the right mind would go to a school like that knowing they could lose their scholarship in a heartbeat, talking about that female coach at North Carolina Central? That's a fantastic point. 100%. Well, I guess if you're her recruit, then you're one of her kids, you know what I'm saying? But you can't go with that attitude.
Know. Man, I don't see anybody winning out of that.
No.
Certainly not the coach.
And I told you what Jacob Wilson already had to say. Also, Calvin said, sounds like she should get into Congress, take out the trash, and bring in some fresh people. I agree with her methods then. Yeah, maybe that would work for politics. I'm not so sure it'd be working for something like that. So, I'm interested about that. But, yeah, I am looking forward to that three-on-three. I'm curious to see how many names I'm going to know. I don't know all the other names.
I want to see Grayson Allen play in it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, one-on-one with Trey Bell Haynes.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. All right, what's up with the NFL? They officially changed the catch rule, which I think is about time.
Catch rule has officially been amended. We've gotten rid of the phrase surviving the ground.
Oh, jeez.
And we go
that
back.
That was invented this year, by the way.
And we go back to the more traditional sense of catch the ball 2 feet down inbounds and then a football move.
The only one that was atrocious was the Jesse James one, the Pittsburgh one against
New
England. That he caught the ball two steps, the ball touched the line, and I thought by the rule that didn't even have to really change as far as I'm concerned. That was a touchdown because he had possessed the ball.
Yeah, the Dez Bryant rule.
Right,
Dez
Bryant too, Calvin Johnson, yeah. But Jesse James, more fresh in my mind, that was atrocious on that one.
Yeah, but there is an interesting point. I like this too, and we've all grown up knowing the phrase football move. You catch the ball, you turn, you take a step, that's a football move. You catch, you fall, you lunge, that's a football move. We have grown up knowing that. But Dean Blandino, former head of officiating, he did say, look, yeah, it sounds simpler, but you're taking the confusion of the term going to the ground with now more confusion of what defines a football move. And he's not necessarily wrong about that. I'm used to this, so I say I like it, but it's still not perfect.
So it's like taking, the football move is like taking a third step or lunging with the ball in your hand, is what I'm hearing. So you're right. So this isn't really fixing it. It's fixing part of it.
There's still some subjectivity to the rule.
So ridiculous. Catch the ball, hit the ground. It's a catch.
It was like that sentence that I don't know the definition of pornography, but I know it when I see it. Maybe you just don't know the definition of a catch, but but you know it when you see it. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
They do have the definition of a catch in the baseball rule book. Do you know what the definition of a baseball catch is?
No, as long
as
it doesn't,
the ball
hit, the
doesn't hit the ground.
Yeah, that's what
no,
I was going to say.
It's not a catch until there is, quote, voluntary release of the baseball. Until you pull the ball out of your glove, it's not technically a catch. So, in theory, Mookie Betts catches the ball in center field, catches it with one hand, leaves it in his glove, runs in and drops it on the pitcher's mound. Technically, that should be a drop. Well,
because the only he never made a throwing move.
Because he never pulled it out of his glove.
The reason they have that rule in there is for the double play. Or when you're throwing it out from the outfield, because if you catch it and you're taking the transfer, they said, no, he made the catch, he's transferring it, it's an out. At least I think that's why they made that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's also, voluntary. I mean, if I dive for the ball and I catch it, but then when I hit the ground, it pops out. That's not I did catch it at one point, but I didn't ever voluntarily release it from my glove, so that would be a drop.
If you have it in the web of your glove, and you hit the wall and it pops up, you could still catch it as long as the ball never really hit the wall,
as long as the ball never hit the wall.
Right, so you could catch it off the glove there.
But more fun with baseball rules, get this one. So, Rich, here's baseball trivia for everybody.
Oh,
although
I'm
going to give the answer. I'm going to give the answer. It's just interesting. You're talking about Arnie's thing. So if you're runner on third and you're looking to tag up, fly ball has hit the left field, and the runner obviously is going to go when you catch it. Under Arnie's thing, what you just said is you could technically catch it and just throw it up to yourself and move in closer and closer.
But it's when you touch it, though. It's when you touch it.
No.
To tag up, it's when you touch it.
Yes. Yeah. So you can tag up on, quote, it's called the rule of first touch.
Yes. Right.
So the minute that it touches your glove, you can tag up. But you could, and because otherwise you could get away with it where you just kind of catch it and then pop it up to yourself.
I do want to see that once.
Yes,
just once.
And just walk into the infield and say, well, now you can't tag
it's
up.
Like a hot potato.
I haven't technically caught it yet.
There was you're going to have to look this up, Brady, because my brother called me. I couldn't even begin to describe it to you. About a high school championship game with runners on first and third, about a play that was indefensible.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't remember. Okay, I can't explain it to you.
I think I sent it to you. And Brady, smoke was coming out of his ears just even thinking about it. But I think Buster Olney might have wrote about it, too. It's an indefensible baseball play that could take like 20 minutes without throwing a pitch. It's crazy. I couldn't even begin to start to tell you. Right? You're looking at me.
Is that something I can Google?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. It was a big controversy in a high school game.
You know me with baseball stuff. Yeah. I want to see that.
The other ones that are interesting, if you throw your hat at the ball, it's automatic three bases.
Yes. I knew that.
If you hit the ball with your hat, it's an automatic triple.
What happens if you throw your glove at the ball?
I want to say that's two bases.
That's illegal. I know
that. But you are allowed to throw the glove with the ball to first base, and it's
out. Yes. Because I've seen the pitcher do that before.
Oh, yeah, many times.
Get stuck into the webbing.
Yeah, John Lester.
Right, and they threw it over to first baseman catches the ball and the glove, and he's out on that. But, put indefensible baseball play. I think high school championship. I don't know if it will come up right away, but there's a play. I don't even know how to set up the scenario for you, Rich, to be honest with you. I couldn't even go over it. It's like a page and a half of setting up the scenario.
The best part about Google is you don't have to spell words like indefensible correctly.
Yes, they'll do it for you.
You just have to be close.
Yeah, they'll do it for you. So, I think I sent that to Brady, and Brady tried to discuss it with me. I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this. I can't. My little brain can't wrap up around the whole situation. All right, what's coming up next, Brady?
Well, what's coming up right now our Golic and Wingo word of the day. If you were listening to Golic and Wingo today, you know what that word of the day is. And if you can be caller number 5 with the correct Golic and Wingo word of the day, you're going to the Red Sox and Rays on April 7th. So caller number 5 right now, 802-655-6672.
And that's a Saturday.
There you go.
That is a Saturday.
Wow, right now, 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 103 ESPN. It's a busy Tuesday. By the way, it's 27th day of March. Just want everybody to know that. Brady, who is the winner of the Red Sox tickets?
That's Dave from Plattsburgh, who just won our Red Sox tickets.
Dave.
So, look, if you missed out today, we're doing this every weekday for 2 weeks. So if you missed out today, be listening to Golic and Wingo tomorrow at 7:55 and 8:55, and we will have our Golic and Wingo words of the day then.
And a brilliant, beautiful voice will come on your radio telling you what the word is.
My voice isn't on this promo. Neither is Arnie's.
No.
Yeah, well, it should be. By the way, what happens if people challenge you one-on-one basketball and the winner would win those tickets? How many people would beat you?
I don't have enough tickets to give to people. And
you mean they would all beat you?
There's a few that would beat me, I'm sure.
Really?
You're not one of them.
I'm very disappointed because I don't know how many really good athletes listen to the show. I think you'd be able to beat like just about everybody, Brady. I'm serious.
You're saying everyone who listens to the show is a fat loser? Is that what you're saying?
Trimboli would beat me one-on-one.
I would think so.
I think I could beat Trimboli.
No, you couldn't.
For Red Sox tickets.
You could beat
what planet do you beat Trimboli?
You could beat Trimboli in words per minute said.
I mean, would you score
a point? Wow.
You wouldn't get a point.
Would you get a point on Trimboli? No.
I wish we were playing them again.
What if it was a game to 50? Would he get a point?
Oh, yes. Of course. I get a point against Brady.
Because you'd never get a shot off.
Arnie would not get 1 point against Trimboli.
Wow.
Because he would not get the ball. Trimboli would score every possession. Because even if he missed, he would just get the rebound and beat
Arnie. 6 feet tall.
Yeah, and he could shoot.
But if he's 6 feet tall, he's not jumping me. That's for damn sure. I'm boxing him out, getting the rebound.
You're never near the hoop to box out. What are you talking about?
I'll have to make sure I do that. How come we didn't talk about Belichick having a secret private meeting with... Kraft having a secret private meeting with Brady and Belichick.
Would you like to hear that cut?
Yeah, actually I would.
Okay.
I would like to hear that cut.
Yesterday at the owners' meeting, Robert Kraft talked about the meeting that he had with Brady and Belichick at the end of the year.
In any successful business, in a marriage, if you have a good relationship, there's going to be things where you disagree. But hopefully, you know, you come together and you have a meeting of the minds and you discuss things, and if everyone's all on the same page, usually things don't go as well.
Was there a disagreement about something that I don't know about between Belichick and Brady? Am I missing something here?
I would assume there have been a few.
How come I don't know about
this
stuff?
Out for the Patriots?
I just want to know how come I've not heard about the disagreements. Well, maybe because Brady, Mrs. Brady, Giselle said Tom just wants to be appreciated. This is, by the way, I gotta give him credit. There's something going on, but they've not leaked it to the press. We'll find out in the book, Tom Brady's book, 6 years from now. But Brady, is there doubt in your mind that something bad happened and they're just keeping it quiet and sweeping it under the rug right now?
I don't think that one singular event
happened. I think there was a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's been a buildup over 17 years.
I agree.
But I think the Alex Guerrero thing has reared its ugly head a little bit more than it used to.
Yeah, I think that's really what it's about. Brady has a methodology that he follows. Belichick does not embrace it. Belichick has made it more difficult for Brady to follow his methodology, and Belichick has turned some of the players off from using Brady's training regimen or whatever, and I think that bothers him. I think Brady looks at it and says, I've done so much for this organization, and yet you still treat me like one of the guys instead of the guy.
Yeah, but how does the conversation go when the three of them are sitting there? Because I don't see them talking like that. I don't see Belichick going, I appreciate you, Tom. You know, I don't see that. And I don't see Tom going, you just don't appreciate me, Bill. I see Kraft doing 90% of the talking.
If there's any combination of those three that you can predict what's being said, I think it's Kraft praising Brady. I mean, how many times has he said that he's like a son to him, that he means everything to
him? But there's a difference
between
saying that in the media and saying it in a private three-person meeting with Belichick there.
I just think if there's any connection there, it's between those two.
I think that when they get done with the meeting, I think it puts Belichick in a bad mood and Brady in a good mood. No, I'm serious. Well, I think you're right that he takes Brady's side of things when they're done with a meeting
And that's what the Seth Wickersham article said back in January.
People owe him an apology.
Yeah, they do.
The Garoppolo thing came down to that relationship, I think.
It's just amazing. And again, this is what's amazing. The Patriot fans will say, oh, ESPN is out to get us. Here it is. Here it is being proven that Seth Wickersham was right. There's tension between Guerrero's camp and Belichick. Gronk isn't allowed to comfortably use Guerrero's training methods. The Patriots won't even let Gronk talk about using Guerrero's training methods because Belichick hates him so much. We heard reports that Deion Lewis was unhappy in Foxborough, and surprise, surprise, Deion Lewis is gone from Foxborough. There's tension over the Malcolm Butler thing. There are real issues in that locker room, and Seth Wickersham, you're right, is owed an apology, and Patriot fans can't just comfortably say, oh, ESPN hates us, so here's another slander piece on the Patriots. He was right.
Yeah, and they did a good job covering it up. I really want to know what went behind the closed doors. I don't know if we'll ever get that answer. We're not even getting the Malcolm Butler answer.
That, to me, is the biggest one. As a Pats fan, the number one thing I want to know is what the hell happened with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, because that directly affected the outcome. Would have the Patriots won with him in there? Maybe not, but there's, I mean, as if you're a Pats fan, that's going over the top. The in Bill we trust has been going on for a long time. There have been a lot of head-scratching moves over the years, but that one may have cost them a Super Bowl.
And what about the report, though, that says the Butler just played awful in practice? And that's what we've been reading, that he was awful. And, yes, I am with you that I would have played
right,
him.
Right,
I'm just saying.
Right. No, I understand, yeah.
Maybe he just played that bad.
I would love to be a fly on the wall if Belichick and Butler were in a room. Oh, my goodness. I'd love to be on that one.
That's where we went and said, wait a minute. What is Belichick doing here? This is just wrong.
Real quick, because I know you want to get into Ray Allen. I want to talk about that also. Did you hear what Tomlin said? Just a little note on that. He said that the new relaxed touchdown celebration rules are bad on young players. He doesn't like
Mike
it.
Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, he doesn't like it, doesn't want to see it. Thinks it's bad for the NFL, bad for the young people. Mm-hmm. I never understood why you got to celebrate like a damn fool when you do something right, but you don't do it in the NBA. You really don't do
you
it.
You don't?
No. You went every bucket, you're doing something. You got to get back on defense.
But if and one, you're screaming and one, you're bumping your chest, you're flexing.
If I did that in baseball, if I hit a home run and decide I'm going to go ahead and flex my muscles or trot around real slow, you're going to throw it in my head the next time up, right?
Right, and people are trying to get rid of that mentality and say, oh, lighten up. Remember Bryce Harper with the Donald Trump slogan, baseball great again.
Right, right. I don't know. I just think Tomlin is a very serious guy. I'm not so sure I totally agree with him on that, but I see what he's saying.
I think you got to be really careful because the NFL's on fire right now, and if you want to keep the kids, the dance routines, as much as I hate them, it seems to be the one sport where this goes on, is the NFL. One of the reasons, of course, is because there's just not that many opportunities to score.
Yeah,
but my problem is, guy makes a play on first and 10. A linebacker stops the guy for a 3-yard gain and starts going into a choreographed routine defensively. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you're right, Rich. You said it right there. The NFL knows who it needs to market to keep the game strong. And it needs to market to not us. It needs to market to the kids and to mom. So that's why you see the NFL so invested in the pink campaign. That's why you see so many pink jerseys out there, breast cancer awareness. Yes, there's some good cause behind that, but there's also, let's market this game and make it as appealing to women as possible so they let their sons play it. And then, the dance routine keeps the kids interested.
That's exactly why. I want to get into Ray Allen as my wife texts in $3 on all Sam Adams on Thursday. Say $3 on all Sam Adams Thursday.
Has she started already?
Yeah, I'm sure she has. So that's going to be Thursday when we're having the watch party with the Red Sox at RJ's, $3 on all Sam Adams. What's going on with Ray Allen?
So Ray Allen's written a book now about his life and about his career, and it's a result, he's on the subsequent book tour, and he's talking now about
books.
He's talking about unless for Tom Brady's book in six years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That book you want.
Tell all.
So Ray Allen talked about his relationship with the people in Boston, talked about the Celtics, and talked about was he surprised at all the backlash that he got from Celtic fans and from Celtic personnel like his former teammates?
You know, there's going to be people that aren't happy because I decided to leave. But since when do we make decisions, that affect our lives and our jobs and our families for other people? We have to think about the decisions that we need to make that are good for us. And those are decisions I've been making my whole life. And I had a family and team of people around me that helped me make those decisions. So to the magnitude that it reached, never would have imagined, just how sensitive people were about it. I understand that a lot of people were disappointed because of what I meant to them, but it didn't take anything away from my feeling towards the city of Boston and the people that I played for.
You say I never listened, Brady. I just listened to that. I don't know what he said. I mean, really, he's just talking in circles there. My thing is this, why you write a book when you make that much money? Because you're writing a book to make money, are you not? Don't tell me it's some type of therapy or anything like that when you're writing about your basketball career. What did you get, $1 million? You made about $100 million. I don't know what kind of secrets he's spilling. I'm not big on tell-all books. Well, listen, Stormy Daniels, but that's beside the point. I'm not big on tell-all books. Gross. And you know, this is really uncalled for. I don't know why he's writing. Did someone say, why are you doing this? Yeah. Why?
Ray Allen is sort of deceptive. I think he's about as cool a character as a human being can be on the outside, but there's a little bit inside there. I mean, I remember thinking, that's Jesus Shuttleworth?
Yeah,
really?
Jesus Shuttleworth.
That's him?
How about that?
Because you just don't think of Ray Allen as being anywhere near outgoing enough to ever be in a movie, and he was actually quite good in that movie, but he, to me, would be the last guy, even in his Boston time, that would write a tell-all book and trash his teammates. He just comes across as being a really mellow guy.
I don't know. Number one, I don't think any fan should hold any animosity. I'm tired of the Ray Allen storyline of people from Boston or associated with Boston hating him.
What did he really do? Just leave?
Yeah,
jeez.
Well, the problem was not only did he leave, but he left to team up with LeBron, which is who the biggest rival was of the Celtics. But I hate this narrative. I hate this story. Fans shouldn't be mad at him. He helped the Celtics win a title, their first one since the 80s, so they should be appreciative of him. Paul Pierce should be appreciative of him because he's one of the guys that came and joined the crew that helped him get a title in Boston. Rondo, he's just kind of a surly guy, so I can get him holding a grudge. But Garnett has no need to hold a grudge on Allen either. What they accomplished was special, but I think a Garnett is a Timberwolf, not a Celtic anyways. And I don't think as Ray Allen is a Celtic. I think of him as a Sonic, where he spent the exact amount of time as Boston, and as a Milwaukee Buck, where he spent longer than both in that place than both Seattle or Boston. I look at him as a hired gun to help win a title, and that's what he did. Let's get over it.
Yeah, KG doesn't come there without Ray Allen. I mean, does he? I mean, that probably doesn't even
happen. He was traded for
it. Right, but I mean, he was, but okay, so it was Ray Allen coming if KG came first, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember the scenario.
They were both traded for, I thought. No, maybe Allen was a free agent.
Yeah,
let me check.
But I mean, Ray one Allen, doesn't happen without the other. Agent. They looked at that and they said, here's a super team. Let's see if we can make this happen. He joined Pierce and they won a championship immediately.
I think I'm like Brady. I'm really not sure about the strong animosity against Ray Allen. I still don't understand the whole tell-all book. I'm not sure why you want to do that when you've made that much money. I understand if you're hurting for money, you want the. And by the way, you don't get that much money for books, do you? I mean, maybe like $1 million if it's like a great tell-all book. Otherwise, yeah, it doesn't make you a lot of money you think.
It's not like they're sitting down. The athlete's not sitting down and writing
a
book.
No, it's a ghostwriter.
Sitting in front
of
a computer.
Yes.
Ray Allen was traded to Boston, as was Kevin Garnett. So Danny Ainge went and acquired all of them to help win the title. So I look at Garnett and Allen as guys that were brought in to help him win a title. I don't look at them as career-long Celtics. Pierce is the only one who's a career-long Celtic, so if he's mad about it, I would kind of get it. But they helped him get a title, which helped bolster, one, his money, two, his value, and three, his Hall of Fame status. So I think everybody here just got to get over it.
Yeah, and a lot. I mean, if you look at Ray Allen, too, he always came across to me not only as the mellowest guy on the court, but also a guy who was willing to sacrifice to win a ring. I mean, if you look at his numbers in Milwaukee and look at his numbers in Seattle, then he goes to Boston. He immediately drops 9 points off his average, takes a ton less shots, and it just wasn't about Ray Allen as much. And everybody looked at him as that guy that sacrificed his Hall of Fame career, although he'll be there soon enough, just to win a title in Boston, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that left their towns and where people really hate them. I mean, really hate them for many, many years. I don't know why this situation would be one of them.
He didn't seem hateable.
No,
he really didn't. But it's even like Ray Allen, he never says a word. Seems like a smart guy.
All right, we'll come back. We'll have the spring training update. Then we'll finish out with the last story standing, all that coming up right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, show just flying by. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Spring training report. Spring training report. He hates that. He just hates that.
We don't have to do a spring training report very much longer, boys.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Opening day is not even 48 hours away.
Bring
Rich.
It on.
Wow.
Sox have won it all. They won
and it's
today.
Just, it's not just one lousy game. We so got all
get,
the games.
Do you get like a trophy for having the best record in spring training that you parade around the field with great happiness?
I don't know. I really want to wear my really nice Mariners jersey to RJ's on Thursday.
Wow, but
I'm
you're going to get it dirty.
I'm going to get chicken wing sauce all over it. So I can't do that.
By the way, Jason Wirth to the Yams today. Does that mean anything to you?
No, because he's in AAA. He's missed all of spring training with an injury, and he had 10 home runs last year and injured all the
time.
What
a massive, awful contract for Washington he was.
No one who's listening even remembers who Jason Wirth is. You just brought up a player that no one remembers.
I remember him.
Jason Wirth. He must have been worth something. Right. Look what the contract they gave
him. I bet you 30% of our audience knows who he is. And that might even be high.
He's got great hair.
Who knows if he even has that still? Anyway.
By the way, Syndergaard gets a start for the Mets. I just want to throw that
opening day?
Opening day.
Well, yeah. You knew he was going to get it.
I know. I'm just
DeGrom was hurt for a while, and Bartolo Colon's not on the team.
I know. He's just so fat and old now.
Just a matter of time with the Mets. That staff, first, second, and third guys will all be on the DL.
If they lose that first game, they'll be mathematically eliminated, I believe.
I've never seen a team more snake bitten by injuries in all of sports than the New York Mets are.
The Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
So don't give me otherwise.
No, they just stink.
No, they're injured too. Don't worry about that. As for the Red Sox, Rafael Devers yesterday.
Yeah.
knee injury. TC told us he thinks he's going to be okay, and the Red Sox are lucky there because that was the most unathletic-looking slide I have ever seen.
Arnie, you could have slid more gracefully than Devers did on that play.
It's like, wasn't it 2 years ago they had all the illnesses, or was that last? I don't remember.
It was last year.
Last year was the illnesses?
Yep.
I thought there was something 2 years ago also. It's like something always getting them off to a slow start or something. I don't know if that really affected them, but it's something with this team every time, it seems like, with the beginning of the season.
Devers is, I think, going to be a very important player on this team. And I don't, man, what is he, 20? I
20.
Mean, could we stop getting hurt? It was the weirdest play. Catcher threw the ball over the pitcher's head after just a random pitch. And Devers decided to take off. Would you call that a head-first slide?
It was a head-first slide.
It started out as a head-first slide.
But it wasn't graceful. So Devers, Red Sox are lucky that he's going to be okay. J.D. Martinez spoke on ESPN yesterday.
Wait, I just want to ask, are you a head-first guy or no?
Not in the home plate, I'm not.
Anything, but are you like a Pete Rose guy or no? You don't think, because Pete Rose used to, they say sliding head-first is slower. I find that hard to believe.
I don't know.
Did your buddy do a sports science on that?
We could do that.
Yes.
I like head-first
slides.
Yes,
I think it's faster.
But, and the aesthetics of it, it just looks better, but I'm not in for sliding into home plate where you can get a shoulder jammed.
Are you
or
in the sliding
broken.
In the first base, or you don't think that makes it faster? They say if you slide in the first base, you're not going faster.
You only slide in the first base to avoid a tag.
That's a shoulder injury waiting to happen.
Or a wrist or a finger.
I mean, you're going full speed.
What
just
does it
diving
make if you're
into the
sliding
bag.
In the first, second,
I
third,
that.
Home? Yeah,
but I'm talking about first, where it just seems like there's more injuries when you dive into first. I have no idea why.
Because you're more likely to get stepped on at first base than you are at any of the other bases.
I don't know. I think it's faster. I don't buy into that. Don't slide head first and don't slide in the first
base.
I
don't think I've ever seen a human being ever say it's faster until you. I mean, everybody says, don't do that. What? Don't slide into first head first.
If you're running down and you just lean forward.
I understand it. Yeah.
People, well, if it wasn't faster, why would baseball players do it
okay.
then?
Okay, if it was faster, why don't Olympic sprinters fall over the line?
Big difference between sprinting and going. Well,
no, but they're going 100 miles an hour.
Some
that's going
to
hurt.
They do lean at the end.
Yeah,
win.
They lean. They right. don't fall and dive. If that were the fastest way to get to your point, Olympic sprinters would slide in the,
then
on
why,
the finish
then
line.
Then why do baseball players dive into bases then? Especially
because
when they're stealing second, Brady.
No. Well, okay, you can't overrun the bag, so you can't. It would. My goodness. So I have to explain physics to you here.
No, but
sliding into second base, you have to slide into second. Or third. You can't run straight into it and then decelerate and then stand right on top of the base.
No, I understand, but why do people go head first in the second if that's not faster?
Because I'm telling you, you're
tougher tag. I'm telling you, as a former shortstop, I think head first is a tougher tag. You're coming in lower.
You have to slide into second and third base. You can't run into it and stand on it straight. So you have to get down.
Right.
Okay? So sliding head first versus feet first, that's your preference. No, you're talking about sliding into first.
No, but also they say sliding head first is slower, too.
That I don't know. Yeah, but sliding into first is more dangerous, and they say it's slower. Okay. If it were faster to cross the finish line, then the sprinters would do that also.
But First, I mean, have we brought up the point that sprinters are going really, really fast? And what are they diving onto? Cement?
That's true.
I mean, they'd be coming up covered in blood at the end of every race.
Not every. I mean, some places are not as unforgiving, though. I mean, some. I don't care, though, about what the track is made of.
That just seems like such a. We're now interviewing Usain Bolt.
Now they're going to get tons of texts and people go, no, no, you should slide in the verge.
If you're going for the gold medal and diving across was the fastest way to do it, you would run in pants, you'd have knee pads, and that would be your quickest way to do it. Sliding is not sliding headfirst into first is not fast.
I'm sorry I brought that up there. There you go.
Anyways,
yes, go ahead.
JD Martinez spoke to ESPN yesterday. We're going to find out some interesting things about JD Martinez this year, like his meticulous work ethic. Did you know that JD Martinez videotapes all of his batting practice sessions, has a meticulous journal on every pitcher that he faces, and chronicles every at-bat, and wants to go take swings in between innings? Doug Kazarian, our buddy from SportsCenter, asked him why he does that.
You know, I guess it's kind of the way I was raised. You know, my father always told me if you're going to do something, you got to do it 100%. I just, you know, I like to go home and be able to sleep at night knowing that I did everything I could do that day to prepare for the game. It's hard for me to go home and fall asleep knowing that, okay, did I study? Did I prepare correctly? Did I do everything in my power to prepare for that game? And if I did and I had a bad game, then I can say, okay, like I did everything I could possibly do. But if I didn't, then it's one of those things where I was like, I could have done more.
Sounds like he's not married.
Isn't that too much information?
Paralysis seriously? By analysis.
Yeah, I mean, don't you know, should you have that much information on somebody's kids? You just go out and play sometimes, Brady, or no?
Well, if we were talking about the NFL and we were talking about that being a quarterback, we'd be singing his praises on his work ethic.
That's true.
I think that repetitive swinging is a problem because physically your body just can't handle taking 9,000 swings a day, which is what it sounds like he wants to do. I think that's an issue. And as far as over information,
Peyton Manning can't do that 162 games the way he gets ready.
I think that information is a good thing. I think studying is a good thing. But I do think that if you go 0-for-3 and then want to tinker, that's a problem. Yeah,
right? All right, we'll get the last story standing when we get back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, I don't know how this is going to translate to radio, but I showed you guys both the pictures. There was a Philadelphia Eagle fan eating dinner in Boston, went to pay the bill. You know, when you ever pay with your credit card or your debit card, you got to sign your name, and they've gotten smaller. You know, the place where you sign your name, it's like it's kind of thin. But anyway, when he went to sign his name, instead of putting his name down, him being the Eagle fan, he drew up that play that was a touchdown for the Eagles.
Foles catch?
Yeah, I think it was the Foles catch, and drew that up as where the signature goes, and drew like a smiley face, and that was it. And I bet you they don't go declined. I bet you they didn't say declined. I bet you they said fine. Have you ever seen such a thing? I mean,
well,
come on
now. Well, luckily you showed it to me, because you would say how absurd that would be, but it almost looked like somebody. I mean, have you seen some of the worst signatures?
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, it's just like a straight line.
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't look like Joseph Sullivan.
No, it's just gibberish there. Brady, you love the little play on the
thing. He wrote Philly Special on it.
Yeah.
Did he get a cheesesteak or something?
That's so stupid. I'm just telling you.
Oh, it's funny.
All right, Brady, we got to thank intern who?
Logan.
Intern. No, only one intern today?
Yep, only one today.
All right, intern Logan. We got our big game at the YMCA, so I'm
Which
off.
Which you're running. Already dressed in your
dressed.
Coat.
You're fully dressed.
I have to go home and put on Bengay.
And shower four times.
Yeah. So I got to put Bengay on.
Watch out for the
so
Bobcats.
So for intern Logan, for Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Big game tonight. Champlain Valley game night coming up next. Don't stay the whole time. We need each game. Right here on 101.3 ESPN.
You got 30 seconds left until the show ends.
Look at you. Just go. Look at him, he's frantic.
Are you really leaving with 20 seconds left until the show
is?
I got
a game tonight. I got to carry the team tonight.
He's fist pumping us. That means he's leaving.
I don't understand what Arnie is doing right now.
I got a game tonight.
There's 9 seconds left now.
You're going to
score 1 point.
No,
nobody cares. Oh, six. Is that going to happen?
We've got basketball tonight. We'll tell you how it went. Champlain Valley game night is next. Arnie's out the door. It's 101.3 ESPN.